It's wonderful to be here in Austin, Texas. I departed the plane and I looked over to my friend who's with me from Willett and I said, this is truly UT country. And I'm not talking about Tennessee. And it's good to be in a state where orange is truly orange and the right color orange and we can root for it. It's good to be back in a place where I have so many friends and family it feels like at Southwest. It's just a delight to be with you this afternoon. Never in the history of the world, I believe so much has been spent on so little. As you look around and see the attire of so many, as springtime is approaching, even in Texas you have spring, it's short, we notice that people are beginning to change their attire. The scriptures teach us concerning attire that we need to be modest. Holiness plays indeed a role in our appearance. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you take your Bibles there just very quickly. Now they promised me this was going to work. And I trust that it is and I hope that there we go. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, the Bible there talks about the role that modesty plays. It says, in like manner that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. There are some who hesitate to emphasize the fact that Paul, as he was addressing this topic, pointed to the fact that women are asked to dress in the modest apparel. Some would ask, well, why, Brother Rob, are men not addressed in this topic? And I want us to be very clear from the beginning that the scriptures do not exempt men from modest apparel. But God, in his wisdom, understood that there was a difference between a man and a woman. Men are visually attracted. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Men are visually stimulated. And what they see leads to, if they allow lust to conceive. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is full grown, James tells us, it brings forth death. And so we find in the scriptures that this designation to women is given because of the nature of the sexes. We're different. I know we live in a society today that tries to muddy the waters and tell us there's not a difference between men and women. But yes, this afternoon, I hope that any intelligent person with any common sense understands the difference. Women are normally attracted by what they feel. Men are attracted by what they see. And so the scripture says in like manner that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with broided hair or pearls or costly array, but that which professes godliness, verse 10. Dear friends, this is an important topic. Fathers, this is extremely important. Those of us who have children, as they're growing, need to address the topic of modesty from the very beginning. Too many parents believe that they can allow their children to dress any way they want while they're young, while they're youngsters. And then somewhere in their life, there's a transition, and now the rules apply. I want to emphasize to all who are here this afternoon that from the youngest of ages, we better be teaching our children to dress modestly. There is no exemption for age. From the youngest of ages. A survey was recently done on young Christian men, ages 14 to 24. I want to share with you the results of this survey. This wasn't done in the watered down religious world. Dear friends, this was done in the Lord's church. I want us to pay close attention to the findings. One brother said, I do not believe the average girl understands how much of a problem lust causes for the average guy. For the most part, this lust is visual. If truly our sisters cared about their brothers, they would pay very close attention to the Word of God regarding the attire that they wear. I realize there are some who just do not maybe realize the problems this causes. But all dear friends, these young boys were very honest. And furthermore, as the study continued to go on, we find that the boys, one said, certainly view what girls wear differently than the girls view what other girls wear. I know that many of the girls are concerned about their attire. They're concerned about how it fits and how it looks. And they're looking at the style. Let me tell the young girls here something that's very important. Guys don't care about the style. They don't care about your choreography. They don't care about what brand you're wearing. They don't care what color you have on. They don't care if it matches. They don't care how it looks on you. They're visually stimulated. As the survey went on, we find that some other startling statistics are given. 65% of those said that shirts that reveal a girl's backside, her lower backside, were immodest. How many do we see today who are walking around revealing their lower backside? Maybe you would think that would be innocent, but not for these Christian young men. These Christian young men also said that that various other postures that young ladies had were immodest. I'm going to go to my hard copy. I don't believe this remote is working very well. They revealed that the fact that not only were the lower backsides not working very well for them, but not only was that happening, but over 75% agreed that the tight shirts were immodest. 75% agreed that tight shirts that young ladies were wearing were immodest. The majority rated tight jeans as immodest. Friends, that's the norm. Most people wear them, but the majority of boys said when they saw the tight jeans, it was immodest. We found that nearly half of the Christian men surveyed said that skirts above the knees and shorts above the knees were immodest. Christian men were in wide agreement that visible undergarments were immodest. Dear friends, we have a problem when it comes to modesty in the Lord's church. I'm not talking about the world. We don't expect them to dress modestly. Dear friends, I'm speaking about our young people. I'm speaking about our ladies. How many times as a preacher of the gospel have you had a deacon or someone serving on the Lord's table tell you that it bothered them as they served the supper that there were women in the Lord's church, sisters dressed immodestly? I want us to take our Bibles to Genesis, the third chapter, and look at some very important biblical principles together. We're going to travel through the Bible this afternoon and see that God has issued a standard for modesty. The scripture says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, that you will not surely die. In verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and also gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And immediately they sewed these fig leaves together and made them some aprons. In verse number 9 it says, the Lord God called to Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. There's an important principle here about nakedness that every Christian must understand. Satan, in all his subtlety, has redefined nakedness for most people in the world to mean without a stitch of clothing. That's not the God-given definition. Look at Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. First and foremost, I want to point out that when the absence of sin, nakedness is not shameful. In the absence of sin, nakedness is not shameful. You might say, preacher, I can't imagine that. But if you've had a child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Just after they take the bath, my young son, he drapes across the living room. He's dripping wet. He has not an ounce of embarrassment. Now, as the elders and their wives are in the home, I'm a little bit embarrassed. But he goes back into the bathroom. He has not an understanding of sin. It's not a shame to him. But one day my son will understand sin. And he'll be embarrassed. If taught properly, his conscience will bother him. He won't want to run out of the bathroom naked anymore. The scripture says they hid themselves, and after they'd made these fig leaves. And as God now addresses the problem, I want you to notice what God did in verse number 21. And unto Adam also, the Bible says in verse 21, and to his wife, the Lord God made coats of skins, and he clothed them. Dear friends, God became the first tailor of man. There are some important points that we want to understand here. First, that fig leaves and garments are immodest. The fig leaf garment was immodest. And no more than that, God said that was nakedness. You can have the fig leaf garment on, and in the sight of God, you're still naked. We need to understand that. Number two, Adam and Eve knew that they were still naked, and that's why they made these garments. They knew it. The garments were made because they knew, they understood this fact. Furthermore, God tailored the coats. And I want you to notice this next point. That those coats were made of animal skin and not plants. God had a design in making this. And lastly, I want us to note this point. That God, He fitted them. God ensured that they were worn properly. We are given a hint for the first time in the Word of God about holiness and modesty. God begins to define for us the issue of nakedness. Dear friends, when they knew they were naked, God fixed the problem. He addressed the issue. And He made them coats of skin. He clothed them. I wonder what this clothing looked like. But friends, that's not the last time God's going to address this topic. Take your Bible to Exodus chapter 28. Dear friends, throughout the scriptures, we find that God addressed this timely topic. And for Adam and or Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets shalt thou make for them for their glory and for their beauty. Dear friends, did you notice that God said putting clothes on is for their glory? The endowment for the ark says, take the clothes off, and that's glory. Friends, the scripture says, put the clothes on, and man looks the best when his clothes are on. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him. Thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the priest's house. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. I've heard people tell me that you can't define how long our breeches shall be. If you read the Word of God, you know exactly how long your breeches need to be. Dear friends, God's Word gives us a ruler. It tells us how long the breeches need to be. And the Bible says, from the loins to the thighs, they shall reach. God wanted to make sure that the nakedness of man was covered. People today are running around naked because the breeches aren't long enough. From the loins to the thighs. Is this an aberration? Is this a one-time exemption? Is just because they were in the priest's house? It wasn't. Dear friends, God makes this requirement over and over again. Verse 43 says, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons. And when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not their iniquity and die. How serious is modesty? How serious is modesty? God says if you bear your iniquity, God says your life will be required. People today think this is a lesser issue. To God, it's an important issue. But I still want to know a little bit more about this issue. Keep it right there. I want to know a little bit more about this. You see, the scriptures tell us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 26, something else about this question of apparel and appearance. Neither shalt thou go up by the steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Dear friend, when you walk up the stairs, there's a separation that occurs. Sometimes it's not a pleasant separation. And if you're not clothed properly, there could be the appearance of immodesty. And the reason God wanted those breeches on was when they went up the stairs, that they would bear not their iniquity and die. How important is posture? You know, what may be modest while you're standing may not be modest while you're climbing stairs. What may be modest while you're standing, when you sit in the chair, may be entirely immodest. Have you ever seen someone sit down in the pew and begin to pull on their shorts and their skirt because it's too short and they're ashamed of what they're wearing? The preacher comes down the aisle and they're doing this. They're pulling on it. They know what they have on is immodest. They're walking down the mall and here comes Brother Marion Taylor. And they see Brother Taylor coming, they're embarrassed and they pull on their shorts. Because they know it's immodest. That's not the last time the scriptures will address this very timely topic. In fact, the scriptures in the prophets will talk about this. Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 47. In Isaiah, again, God addresses this issue. He says, take the millstones, grind the meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Now, the leg's bare. Now, imagine the bare leg. Uncover the thigh. Now the thigh is uncovered. The leg's uncovered. The thigh's uncovered. And what does the scripture say in verse number 3? It says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. When you expose the thigh, what happened? The Bible says your nakedness is uncovered. Dear friends, God tells us how long the shorts need to be. Someone says, preacher, you're anti-short. Not for a minute. Got a lot of pairs of them. Like to put them on. But I make sure they're modest. Dear friends, we need to make sure our thighs are covered. Amen. We have too many immodest, naked people in the Lord's church running around. You know, the prophets talked about modesty. In Nahum chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. Can you imagine a strong wind and the skirt comes up? What does the scripture says? I will show the nations thy nakedness. Surely under the skirt there's some type of garment, but God said when the skirt came up, you're naked. I wonder why. Because your thigh is exposed. But yet, in Christianity, God leaves us not without witness. As we go to our text that we began in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible gives us here principles to help us define modesty for the church. Elders have a role with modesty. Dear friends, it was not too many years before I attended the Southwest School of Bible Studies that they had a creation seminar right here at Southwest. My parents traveled from San Antonio, and after the seminar, a lot of the fellas, we decided, this would have been 16, 18 years ago, to play a little soccer. We got the soccer ball out in front of the church building, and we began playing, and I became hot. Guess what I did? I took off my shirt. I didn't think a thing about it. And after I began to play just for a few minutes without my shirt, one of the elders came up to me and called my name, tapped on my shoulder. I didn't know the elders. They didn't know me. He said, son, would you come here just for a minute? And he asked me to put my shirt on. You know, I could have become offended like some and have left the church parents who say, well, if that's the kind of men they are, I don't want to be here. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of you men. I haven't forgot it. You stop to care. Elders have a role in shepherding a church when it comes to modesty, to make sure the members of the congregation who are in the house of God are dressed appropriately. They made sure for me, and I'm grateful for it. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that women need to adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's the admonition. In like manner, he just talked to men. In like manner, now he's going to talk to the women. We know why he addresses the women with attire, because the appellation is to women because of the visual stimulation of man. So God is not sanctioning immodesty among the men, but he's addressing it to the ladies, because the Bible says, I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her heart, with his heart already. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I might not sin against thee. Brothers, we better be guarding our eyes. There is, third, the adornment. Adorn themselves in modest apparel. Someone says that word subjective. If you read the Bible, you know that word's not subjective. Dear friends, the scriptures tell us that the modest apparel is apparel that covers the thigh. There is admiration with shamefacedness and sobriety. That word shamefacedness is interesting. Many Christians have lost their ability to blush. Dear friends, if you're seen immodestly clothed by another Christian, you ought to blush. If Jesus sees you immodestly clothed, you ought to blush. Shamefacedness has to do with our ability to be pricked, to blush, to be ashamed. I believe there are some who are not ashamed at all anymore. Then there is the aspiration. Notice what the Lord says in this positive aspiration. He says, ladies, dress in a way that professes godliness. If you want to attract a man that is holy, dressed in a holy way. If you want to attract a man that is stimulated and likes to be stimulated by what he sees, well, you know exactly how to do it. You're going to get what you dress for. If you want to be reserved and find that godly man has the godly heart, then you dress like a woman professing godliness. That verse says a lot about how we need to be dressing today. But there are some additional principles that I want to point out. The book of Ruth is a wonderful place to go to learn how to attract a man. Ladies, I want you to pay close attention to the book of Ruth, because in it, the scriptures tell us how to effectively attract a man. When Ruth wanted Boaz to notice her, let's notice what she didn't do. She didn't raise the skirt, lower the blouse to become attracted. What Ruth did is Naomi said, Ruth, verse 3, go take a bath. Ladies, the guys don't want you to stink. And he says, she says, Ruth, anoint yourself. They like you to smell sweet. Put on the perfume. And then she says, put your clothes on. If you want to find a godly man like Boaz, put your clothes on. And friends, not only that, when she decided to uncover something, I want you to see what it was. Verse 7. The Bible says she came softly to Boaz and she uncovered his feet and laid down. You can uncover the feet, as far as I'm concerned, all day long. That's scriptural. Because of how Ruth addressed Boaz, the Bible says in verse number 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Why? Verse 14. And she laid at his feet until the morning. She was virtuous because she was not going to take her clothes off to attract Boaz. She put them on. She laid at his feet. I hope and pray to God that when my daughter reaches an age where she is ready to look for a mate, that she will be called virtuous and be like Ruth. Second, I hope she's not like Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. Because we have a lot of people today who are characterized by Proverbs 7:10. In Proverbs 31, we're talking about the virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies, the scripture says. She's hard to find. But in chapter 7 and verse 10, Solomon tells his son that the young woman here was a harlot because of her attire. She wore the clothing of a harlot. Friend, you can tell something about someone by what they wear. And this woman is identified as a harlot because of what she wore. Our dress tells us something about ourselves. Third, we must use Peter's role model in 1 Peter chapter 3 when it comes to modesty and our appearance. Oh, Peter compares modesty and appearance and our demeanor for ladies all the way back to Sarah. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without their word be won by their behavior of the wives. While they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of the gold, the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. What do your clothes say about your spirit? Which is in the sight of God. God sees what we wear. For after this manner in old times, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. For as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. Can we apply what we've learned this afternoon? Can we from the scriptures deduce how long and how short our attire ought to be? Don't let anybody tell you the scriptures don't tell us how long the attire needs to be. We know exactly how long it needs to be. We know what's immodest and holy. We know the difference between that which is holy in the sight of God and unholy. Dear friends, the scriptures give us a blueprint from the Garden of Eden all the way through the New Testament on what is right and what is good. And we find out that much of the attire that's being worn today is without God's sanction. There is a phenomenon today called the hip hugger. Do you know about it? They like to wear the hip hugger. It's blue jeans designed to ride the hip. Dear friends, I've yet to find a pair of hip huggers that's modest. You may have some. I'd like to know where they are. We have all these Hollywood designers coming out with these clothes. And I know, mamas, how difficult this is. We go and buy clothing for our girl and our boy, and we know it's hard to find modest apparel. My suggestion to you this afternoon is to go home, take all the immodest apparel, don't give it to Goodwill, go throw it away. And spend whatever you need to spend to get modest apparel in your child's closet. You know, it's a wonderful thing when my daughter and my son are going up and down the aisle at the grocery store, and my daughter says, Daddy, that's not modest. My son is 5 years old, and he's at church. Daddy, that's not modest. I have to be careful. Daddy, that's not modest. It's not, son. You wouldn't wear that. My five-year-old knows what's modest and immodest. We have 50-year-olds that don't know the difference between modesty and immodesty, and that's a shame in the Lord's church. We have parents that think it's cute to dress their children immodestly. The same Christian young men who reminded us about the temptation of immodesty also said this. You can tell by the way a girl wears her clothes if she's loose or not. And you can tell by what she wears, what she wants guys to think about when they look at her. Dear friends, girls are pretty intelligent. They know what they want and they know how to get it. If they want to be attracted to certain young men, they know how to do it. If you're a Christian young man, a man of holiness, and a woman of holiness, you don't need to be immodest. Furthermore, these young men said this. As one young man said, I believe a girl professes true godliness when she takes the time to find modest clothes and seeks to dress in a way as not to be a stumbling block. Ladies, we are begging you. We are pleading with you this afternoon, the men are, to dress modestly. We need your help. God made man where they like to see the woman. You know, when Adam first saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man, look what I see." He loved the way she looked. That's natural and it's normal. Ladies, you can help us. And fellas, we can make covenants with our eyes. We can both dress modestly, both help each other go to heaven, not be stumbling blocks for each other. And fellas, I don't want to exempt you this afternoon. Get rid of the tight shirts. Some of us don't need to have them on anyway. But get rid of the tight shirts. Throw them away. My wife would tell me, "Now, honey, you need to get rid of all the sweatpants too. Men in sweatpants, they don't need to wear them." 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." We can do that. When I went to school here at Southwest, John used to call these creation principles. A creation principle is something that God began and ended the Word of God with. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter if you live under the law of the patriarchs, the law of Moses, the prophets, or the age of the church. It doesn't change. Some people say we live in a sophisticated world. Let me remind us, men are still men and women are still women. I don't care how sophisticated we become. Brothers and sisters, let's put modest clothing on. But that which professes godliness. Thank you.